Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Scott Burnside from The Athletic. We welcome him in right now. Scott, good morning to you. How you doing?
Doing very well. Thanks for having me aboard.
Absolutely, absolutely. We've been knocking this one around just a little bit, and it kind of seems like an elementary question, but now they've gone on this little run. Jari seems to have it back together. What are the Penguins? I mean, what are they for you?
Well, I think the Penguins are a little bit what they've been the last couple of years, and that is a bit of an enigma. I think it's a team that, and we ask this, the same question of different teams in their evolution. We asked it of the LA Kings and the Chicago Blackhawks. What are those teams compared to what we knew of them when they were winning Stanley Cups or going to conference finals on an annual basis? And I think, for me, watching the Penguins this season has been fascinating, because I'm not sure we're any closer to an answer about where they are at and what lies ahead for them. And given what we have seen in the playoffs the last 2 years, of course, getting swept by the Islanders in the first round 2 years ago, and then I think it's fair to call it a disastrous performance against Montreal in the play-in round in the bubble in Toronto, we won't know the full answer until the Penguins play a playoff series this May, and that's assuming they get into the playoffs. And we know from the East Division that it looks to be a bit of a dogfight, even beyond Boston, for the rest of the five or six teams that will be looking for those other three spots. And, again, I think this is a team that it could literally go either way, right? This is a team that could miss the playoffs. I think that is a possibility, that's certainly within the realm of possibility that they could miss the playoffs entirely. But they're also a team that I think if they get into the playoffs, can you see them winning a round or two, going to a conference final, going beyond that? And again, I think because of the presence of Sidney Crosby, of Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang, you can't rule that out either. So I don't know that anyone knows what this team is about, and that may include Mike Sullivan, and it might include the new management team as well.
Well, yeah, I was going to bring that new management team up here, Scott, because we're 7 weeks from the trade deadline, and do you get the feeling that Brian Burke and Ron Hextall, given the up and down nature of what they've seen from this team through the first quarter of the season, will look to supplement what they currently have? I can't imagine them tearing down what they currently have, but could they just stand pat, and would Penguin fans be okay with that?
Yeah, it's easy to ask whether you're going to be a buyer or a seller at the trade deadline, and I think this season, with the postponements of games, the rescheduling, the border closure or restrictions between Canada and the U.S., it certainly makes the job for a guy like Ron Hextall and Brian Burke, who will be, I assume, taking a pivotal role in whatever changes come up before the April 12th trade deadline, if there are going to be changes. It adds a whole series of layers of complexity to making those kinds of moves to fortify yourself for a playoff run. And for me, to me, the Penguins are a team that I don't know if there's an obvious point where you're saying, well, do we need a top six winger to play with Malkin or Crosby? Well, I'm not sure that you do. You've made these changes in the past couple of years. It takes time for the integration of skilled players. And I think we're, you know, we still see that with Jason Zucker. I think we're still waiting to see what he will be like. Kasperi Kapanen, what will that look like moving forward as he gets more and more comfortable? And we've seen, you know, I mean, it hasn't been all a seamless transition for him. So, you know, to me, it's easy to say, well, go and bring in a top six forward, go in and bring in a veteran defenseman. To me, the blue line, again, it's so fluid with the injuries that you've had there. And you're still waiting to see what Mike Matheson, what's his real role going to be? What about Pierre-Olivier Joseph? How does he fit in? We know about John Marino. To me, it's not just so much, well, can you make a move at the deadline? It's what really makes sense to make a move, or do you really need to truly find out what you have in-house already? So to me, those are some of the issues moving forward. I would be surprised if there are significant moves made by this management team, given how fresh they are into those seats, and given that there are still lots of moving parts within the roster that exists in Pittsburgh right now.
And Scott, having said all that and talked about all the other positions, doesn't it just come down to the goaltender?
Yeah, well, I don't think there's any doubt about it. I still don't know if anyone understands where the Penguins goaltending is at right now. And this is, you know, it's so easy to just to dump on the goaltenders, and we've seen this. You know, it happens often, and really in Pittsburgh it's happened over the years too, right? There were lots of times, you know, after the 09 Cup win that people were very dissatisfied with Marc-Andre Fleury's play, especially as it related to playoff performances. There were a lot of people who felt the team should be moving on, all those kinds of things. So I understand that. That's a natural reaction. I do think it is a valid question to ask whether Tristan Jarry, who inherited or won over the starting job, and that's why Matt Murray is now in Ottawa, has not probably been where fans would expect him to be, and probably not where the organization expects him to be. I've liked a lot of what I've seen from Casey DeSmith when he has had opportunities to play this season. But if you ask yourself, where does that goaltending stack up in the East? I would say it's probably middle of the pack at best. Although the interesting part about the East, there are a lot of teams actually that are asking about their own goaltending, right? I mean, you look at the Rangers, who I think thought they were going to be better. That goaltending hasn't been what they thought. Washington is in a much different place. You know, Craig Anderson gets the start yesterday and the win over New Jersey for the Capitals. That's not where the Caps expected they would be vis-a-vis the goaltending. So I don't know that it's I think there are a lot of teams in the East in the same kind of boat wondering what their goaltending is going to look like come playoff time. But I don't think there's any doubt for the Penguins. They're going to need to see consistently better goaltending than we've seen at times this season, and certainly what we've seen from this team in goal the last two playoff years.
Talking to Scott Burnside. And Scott, last thing for you. The other night, Kasperi Kapanen gets put down by Mike Sullivan for an extended period of time. I don't know if it's a torts sort of move, but in your travels and the people that you've talked to, and Kasperi Kapanen in his second go-around here in Pittsburgh, is he a guy that needs a fire lit underneath him from time to time in his continual growth, becoming a good NHL player? Or where would you categorize his drive and his effort regularly, do you think?
Yeah, I don't know enough about Kasperi Kapanen's sort of personal motivation and whether he is a guy who needs the odd kick in the pants. Frankly, I think lots of players do. And I think, you know, when you look at the salary cap, you look at the structure of the NHL, what is the one tool the coaches have if they are trying to send some sort of message about we need more from you, or we need you to do these things differently? And if you can't do them the way we want you to do them, then here's what's going to happen. You're going to sit on the end of the bench for a period of time. And you mentioned John Tortorella. Certainly, you know, John Tortorella, we saw what happened in Columbus and led ultimately to Pierre-Luc Dubois' move to Winnipeg for Patrick Laine. And Laine ends up on the bench as well, not for play, but for his interaction with assistant coach. I love those kinds of things, frankly. I think it's healthy to have it has to be a meritocracy, I think, in every NHL room. That's what you strive for. And if you aren't doing the things that you need to do, and as long as those kinds of punishments are handed out on a relatively equal basis. I think those messages are important. They should be important to Kasperi Kapanen, and they should be important to everyone else who's sitting on that bench as well. And again, I don't think it's not the thing that should take on a life of its own. It doesn't mean that he's a bad player. It doesn't mean he doesn't care. It just means in that moment, Mike Sullivan felt, I need to send a message, and I'm going to be further ahead with these other players on the ice, given what I've seen tonight. And then I think you have to move on from that, and what you hope is the lessons learned. My guess is that Kasperi Kapanen understands that this is an important season for him. He's got an opportunity to play with some of the best players in the world. Then I better do what the coach wants me to do. And my guess is he'll be better for it.
Scott Burnside. Scott, we thank you so very much. Back to it. Big work day, big week this week, and we thank you so very much.
Anytime, Dad.
Absolutely. Good Thanks, stuff man. From Scott. I think he's right, and I think he is right about not taking a life of its own. Bang, there's what's happened with Kasperi Kapanen. Move on, next game, message sent, message received, let's go. And I honestly think that's the way it's going to go, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to start to live up to what you need to be when you got a first-round pick traded for you and you were a first-round pick of the current organization that you're with. But I also think there is something to the lack of time really to get acclimated to his line mates to this point, and whether it's Crosby or Malkin and how much chemistry he's built with those players. But yeah, I don't suspect it'll be a permanent demotion to the fourth line or anything like that.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.